Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's broadcast was originally supposed to air last Sunday, June 24th, but due to technical difficulties and the radio station being off the air, it was unable to play, so we decided to play it for you today. May God bless.
I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
And we're here today to kind of give some good news your way. So if you need some good news, just hang on and just spend some time here with us today. And we're going to talk about the things that matter most. Today I want to talk on a topic. It's going to be kind of fun to just say it, and then we'll qualify what it is. I want to begin by sharing these words. Why God did what he did. Now think about it for a moment. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through his Son. Now that's what God did. And we want to talk a little bit about why God did what he did. It is an amazing thought. I wrote a book a few years ago for Christmas, and I'm holding it in my hand. It was a devotional, kind of a daily devotional for every day in the month of December. And on December 3rd in this particular book, I wrote on this title, Why God Did What He Did. I put a verse with it from 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 in the New International Version of the Holy Bible, and it reads this way, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And we're talking, of course, relationship, but it deals with a lot of other things as well. When you think about King Jesus leaving his throne to come to earth on a rescue mission, it's a pretty big idea. And we should ask the question, why did God do what he did? What made God love us so much? Now, there's a word that we use in theology. It's called incarnation. And I don't think there's any surprise to anyone, at least here in this studio, that I'm going to talk a little bit about the presence of God. Incarnation is the idea that God became flesh and dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. The God, the holy God, the God of the universe, he gave his Son to become like us. And so you would have to say that God himself took on flesh. Mm-hmm. And that is the incarnation. We have a church right here in Harrisonburg called the Church of the Incarnation. And I love that name for a church because whenever I think about it, I think about God doing what he did. Mm-hmm. And then it makes me want to ask, why did God do what he did for us? Now, we know that love is the only way to explain it. That's why I began with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. So the incarnation is much more than a theological word. It is actually the foundation of our faith. Christianity does not teach reincarnation, but it does teach the incarnation. In other words, we do not believe that after this life on earth, we will return once again as rats. So that's good news. We do believe, however, that God willingly entered our rat race. The incarnation is explained in verses like John 1:14 and Matthew 1:23. And let me read these. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God, was born as a baby in Bethlehem. Therefore, he is Emmanuel, God with us, as one of us. I want to repeat that again. God with us as one of us. That's mind-boggling stuff to me. The Creator became his creation. Why did God do what he did? So I read 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. I just want to echo it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor Margaret, when you think about what we're talking about here, about the incarnation, When we think about why God did what he did, I want to say it to your face. God did it for you. It might be more like this. Who was it for that caused God to do what he did? That's really the question that makes the most sense. So when you say, God, why did you do what you did? Why did you become your creation? Why did you enter our rat race? Why did you, oh God, decide to be with us as one of us? Then he would probably say, go look in the mirror and you will have the answer to why I did what I did. So Pastor Margaret, you just from your own life, your own testimony, just take that in any direction you want, because I know the incarnation, the presence of God coming as flesh and spirit. And then also it runs into the idea that now he wants to put his spirit and his presence in us. It's a little bit hard to talk about, but we cannot afford to avoid it. We must get this good news unwrapped.
Well, I love that scripture in John 1, and I love the scripture actually in the Message paraphrase, and I had it as my email tag for a while. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. And I love that scripture where Jesus took on flesh and blood and entered the neighborhood, and where he entered the world as he came and completed his mission here, and as he went to the cross for us. What love. That amazes me that anyone, that I can look in the mirror, like you said, and know that Jesus went to the cross for me and for each one of us. And to think about not only that, but as he ascended after the resurrection to the right hand of the Father, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in what I've often termed low-class housing in me. And that incarnation, just to think about that presence, that now as we are surrendered to him, he can move about the earth through his people.
It's an amazing concept. I mean, it's something we can never imagine in our own minds as humans. We need the mind of Christ. And I think it kind of almost leaves us speechless, really. It's really a little crazy to try to do a talking broadcast about something as deep as the incarnation. But it is too wonderful to leave alone. I mean, we have to take it, embrace it, understand it as best we can. And the sense that he came, talking about that low-class housing, he came to be born in a stable. It was actually a cave stable. And that was pretty low-class housing, too. I guess we should have learned something about him, you know, by the way he chose to be born in such low-class housing. And then he wants to go from that stable into our lives with his spirit. And so the whole ministry, the foundation, as I said earlier, of Christianity is the incarnation.
Right.
It is that God became flesh and dwelt among us. It is that God is with us as one of us, but it doesn't stop there. It begins there, no doubt whatsoever. It begins there. But then he wants to live an incarnational ministry through us.
Right.
It's just off the charts. Grayson, when you think about God loving you so much that he would, you know, lay down his robes on the throne and come to become your sacrifice, to come to be like you so you could be like him, what kind of thoughts go through your mind?
Well, Dad, it's kind of a humbling and surreal thought to think that the God of the universe, the Creator, the one who created each and every one of us, and how vast and how many people there are in this world, that he came to this earth, the one who created humans, became a human, and humbled himself enough to give up his position next to the Father in heaven and become human, and to suffer the same type of sufferings that we suffer here on earth, and in many respects suffer worse than we'll ever suffer, just to save our lives, to give us a chance to have eternal life in heaven with him and the Father someday, is just humbling to think. And the fact that he loves and came to die for each and every one of us individually, because he loves us each individually, is just humbling, just because of how many people there are in this world. But he loves us each and every one of us individually, and that's just a humbling thought, just a surreal thought.
Yeah, I'd say you're on to it, and you're defining why God did what he did, and you're defining that he did it for you, Grayson, and you're overwhelmed by it. You're amazed by it, I think was the word that Pastor Margaret used earlier. So, Pastor Margaret, if you want to take this in, you know, any direction, or just kind of build on what we're saying, we're talking about the incarnation today and how important, how essential it is to the good news we share.
Well, it is a little overwhelming just to sit here and think about. We talk about it a lot around the church, but to sit here and kind of inhale and exhale and just think about what Jesus really did for each one of us, no matter what we've done. And he didn't stop there, as we've said. He continued, and he wants to not only come and save us, and he takes up residence because he has something for each one of us in this world. And we talk a lot around here just about the importance of presence. And as he lives in us and through us, this is ministry day in and day out, no matter where we are.
Exactly, it is. And there is no ministry really apart from the thought of the incarnation.
Right.
And I want to take it kind of to my future. You know, I've been the pastor here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene for 24 years. And I'm leaving and going to a new calling that God has in mind for me. I'm partnering with him, going to be an overseer of churches in the Philadelphia region of the country, which means everything east of the Susquehanna River in Pennsylvania, which is Lancaster, Harrisburg, Williamsport, everything east of that through all Pennsylvania, and then all the way over to Toms River, New Jersey, which is southern New Jersey, or the tip of the southern part of New Jersey, and down to Cape May. I'm going to be going from church to church, hopefully strengthening the churches there and refreshing the hearts of God's people. That really is what God has called me to do. And as a result of that, I'm praying that the ministry of presence will find new life in that region where I am going to be entrusted. So much so that I had a new business card printed so that when I meet new pastors and leaders and the like, I can give them my communication and they know how to connect with me. But on the back of the card, in the largest font, I wrote three words: presence matters most. And what I'm saying is the incarnation is what is most essential. It is foundational that God became flesh, that God put his spirit in a human body. Mm-hmm. And that was a foretaste of his full plan, because that still is what God wants to do. He wants to put his presence in every human body, not just in the human body that Jesus walked around in. We are grateful for that. That is definitely the greatest specimen mm-hmm. of what God had in mind. But now he wants us to have that same kind of relationship, that kind of intimacy with him, is that he wants to come in an incarnational way and put himself in us so that wherever we go, people will see his presence, experience his presence in us. Now, earlier on this day we've been recording, I had a funeral to be a part of. Really, the most essential part of the funeral maybe was not the funeral. It was very moving, and I cried a lot because it was a dear friend of mine and a part of our local church. But before the funeral, there was a lady and I having a conversation, and she wanted to know, what is it that you are going to do when you go to the Philadelphia District Church of the Nazarene to be the district superintendent? And I had such joy answering. I said, well, you know, I only exist really for one thing. I only inhale and exhale. I only really get up in the morning because I want God to be able to manifest his presence through my life. Now, he is my life because I have no life of my own, and that's a good thing because Christ now lives in me. And so that's what really gets me up and gets me going. I'm not saying I don't have to take care of the ordinary humdrum things of life, and even some of the things that are not so deep as the incarnation. But Pastor Margaret, because I know that it is the will of God to place His Spirit in human bodies so that He can win the human race, that to me is the pinnacle of purpose for our lives. So I know this means a lot to you. We have this gig that we do in the summer as a local church out of the fairground called the Resting Place. And we talked some about that here on Front Porch Talks before. But the whole idea of the Resting Place is to say, hey, we believe presence matters most. And we take these human bodies who are believers in Jesus Christ and who have His presence living in them, reigning in them, and we put them in a spot at the fairground of the county so that God has a chance to do what He really wants to do, reach people through people. And it's an amazing concept, foundational, fulfilling, and really, really hard to understand. So what else may you want to kind of hang on these thoughts of incarnation?
We do talk a lot about presence around here and this idea of it's a lifestyle of manifesting Christ who lives in us to the people around us. And I've had opportunities over the last couple of years to exercise this and even build new relationships and just be present in people's lives when they give us the opportunity to be present. And speaking of the Resting Place, I remember, I'm not sure if it was last summer or the summer before last, but one night at the Resting Place, I witnessed you sitting talking, Pastor Carey, with a gentleman. And I say that you were talking, and that's what I mean, you were talking. He wasn't really having much of the conversation. Very quiet. He just came in to sit down. He wasn't really into wanting to talk. He was just coming to rest and had grandchildren there. And so as I've learned to do, and I think you have too, maybe you continue to maybe ask some questions and just try to connect and find a place that you could connect with him and have some common ground, which is important when we're speaking of presence, is finding common ground and building relationship with folks. And finally, you found that place and found out that you all had a common friend, someone that he worked with and was a friend of, and he's a friend of yours, and you've worked with him as well. And so you all had some real common ground there. And I watched that gentleman just open up and begin to talk. And he came back to visit us there at the Resting Place a few times. And I made a connection with him. And over the last probably 6 months, I have been to several funerals. And he has been at most every funeral that I've been to. And
wow.
I laughed a few weeks ago and I told him, I called him by name. And I said, you know, we really need to stop meeting like this. And so about 2 weeks ago, I'm standing in the foyer along with the gentleman that he had worked with years ago. That was the friend of his and yours, Pastor Carey. And in walks this gentleman. And it was just two of us in the foyer, both people that he knew. And he was just really surprised that we would be the ones standing there to greet him. But isn't that like God?
It is.
When we have this ministry, the Lord puts us in the right places at the right time.
Yep, it's so much like God. And you were talking about common ground. Wow, that's a powerful way to explain why God did what He did. He was trying to find common ground with us.
Yes.
And the only way He could do it was to become like us. And He did it. He said, I am going to become one of them.
Yes.
And that will be the common ground that I need to save them. You think about the love of God, that He was willing to leave uncommon ground. Mm-hmm. It's called heaven. And to come to common ground called earth to become His creation so He could win His creation back to Himself. It's an amazing idea. And you know, when you're sitting and talking like we were at the Resting Place and when we do with individuals, we keep the conversation going. We stay in the conversation until we find common ground. And it takes patience. It takes longevity.
Yes.
And you can't rush this. You have to be willing to wait to find common ground with someone. But think about how important it will be to that soul that you didn't rush, that you took time to find common ground so you could lead them to uncommon ground.
That's right.
So that's what we're trying to do. Jesus left uncommon ground, heaven. He found common ground with us on earth. And now he wants to put his spirit in us so people we find common ground with can be led to uncommon ground, which is heaven. Now, that's good preaching right there. I'm here to report. That is the good news, that God came to be with us as one of us so that he could take us forever to be with him in heaven. But see, it's not just heaven. It's not where it starts. Heaven starts for us here. I mean, the sense is when we believe on Jesus Christ, we have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit one. There's a oneness that we enjoy, and that's going to be the atmosphere of heaven. Now, we want to go to heaven. That's where we want to ultimately land. But until we do, he has come to make his home in us. He has come with that incarnational thing at full throttle. And he has said, until I can get you to live at my home, I am going to come and make my home in you through my spirit.
Yes.
And this is incarnation. Wow. Grayson, is there something you want to say about that?
Well, Dad and Pastor Margaret, as you guys were talking about finding common ground and engaging people and trying to find something where you can relate to them, I was thinking about the saying that Pastor Margaret always says about you have to have a bunch of conversations you don't want to have in order to have the one conversation that you always want to have with people. And that's obviously the conversation about Christ and about what really matters most and what's different about our lives than people around us.
Yeah, Pastor Margaret, speak into that quote that you're probably going to be remembered by once you've gone to uncommon ground, heaven. That quote that Grayson just gave where you talk about being willing to have conversations that really are not that meaningful to you. So you can end up having the conversation that means everything. And you can put it in your vernacular, say it the way you say it.
Well, it's probably not that nice when I say it the way I say it. But it is just having the conversations. And, you know, even I remember back to the days when I was a hairstylist. If someone came in to sit down and get a haircut, I had to figure out common ground with that person, make a connection with them if I wanted to build my clientele. Yeah, I could maybe do a good haircut, but it was more than that because people want relationship. They want to know that they matter. And there's a quote that says, don't focus on yourself, learn all you can about other people. And that's just because I think people are intriguing. I love to learn how people think, and I love to connect with people. I love to have conversations until we can kind of find a connecting point and find that common ground.
Well, you're saying, I think, that even though you're having conversations maybe you normally wouldn't prefer to have, you actually enjoy having the conversations you don't prefer to have so that you can lead to a place where the conversation has deep, deep meaning.
Right. And, you know, that's something that doesn't just happen overnight. I met a gentleman probably 25 years ago before I was a Christian. I met this gentleman and we just became friends. And I've invited him to church and he was pretty sure the roof would fall on him, cave in if he came to church. And I've realized that that was just because of regrets he had in his life. And, you know, I've watched his health fail over the especially the past few years. He would come to our cruise-ins here and bring his motorcycle. And I remember the first time we had a cruise-in and he couldn't make it because he was not well enough to drive his motorcycle. And when he'd end up in the hospital, which he ended up in the hospital often, I would go see him. And, you know, I'd pray for him, but he wasn't that excited about it. But I stayed in that relationship. And
praise Jesus.
Back a couple, I don't know, about 2 months ago, I went to see him and he was not doing too well. His wife was in the room, and I asked him, I said, are you trusting Jesus as your Savior? And this day, he was so eager to have that conversation.
Praise God.
And when I went to, I said, well, can I pray? And when he professed Christ, I asked him, I said, well, can I pray for you? And I didn't even put my hand out to hold his hand. He just reached over and grabbed my hand, grabbed his wife's hand, and let's pray.
Wow.
And, you know, we solidified his relationship with Jesus that day. And on Memorial Day, I had the honor of officiating his funeral service. It was a veteran service on Memorial Day where he had given so much of his life.
Praise God.
For veterans who are awareness of the POW, MIA chapter here in Harrisonburg, and he was always doing for other people. He had such a heart to love people, and I know where that love came from, but he had just never accepted it for himself.
Right.
But I stayed in that conversation, even when he wasn't sometimes so interested in the spiritual part of my life. I stayed in the conversation and talked a lot about motorcycles and whatever he wanted to talk to until the day he was ready to talk about what was the most important subject of his life.
Yeah, what a payoff. And I'll tell you, friends, that's what it's about. That's why I started out saying this is going to be good news today. The incarnation of Jesus, that he put his spirit in a human body and actually walked the planet like we walk the planet. And then when he left, he sent his spirit at Pentecost and said, now I'm going to put my spirit, myself, in the bodies of those who will believe in me. And the incarnation ministry of Jesus continues, not just at his birth, but also in our rebirth spiritually. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I had written in this paragraph here in the little booklet I started out with, in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, the incarnation is, in fact, a three-part proclamation of the incarnation that leads us to celebration. Here's the three parts. Number one, God the Son was rich. Number two, God the Son became poor. Number three, God the Son was rich and became poor so that we might become rich. And that's why God did what he did. He did what he did to take us from our poverty of relationship. We had no presence that could sustain itself. But he was rich in presence. He was rich in life. And God the Son, being rich in presence and life, became poor on the cross. He poured it all out so that he could become poor and we might become rich in his presence. And this, my friends, is the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is why God did what he did. Why he gave his Son, his only one, not to condemn us, but to save us. And he became us so that we could become like him. It's an amazing thought. It's from humanity to holiness. He came as a human so that we could know holiness, his presence, his spirit. Today, if you don't know the Lord, I pray that you would just, in your own language, you would just ask him to bring you in on this deal that he's already made, where the Son was rich and became poor so that you might become rich, and you ask him to bring you in to the deal of a lifetime. And that is to know him and then to make him known, because his spirit will reign in you. So just ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to give you his holy presence as the gift of your lifetime. And that's exactly what he will do, because it's exactly what he wants to do. Grayson, I think you want to close the program. Thanks for letting us be here today. This will be my last official program on Front Porch Talks. But in the future, you might hear me from time to time. I say to some people, in the hour that you think not, the son of the fisherman shall appear. So occasionally, maybe I'll come in by telephone or some other way, and I'll get to share with our host, Pastor Margaret Michael, and our host, Grayson Willis, and they are going to keep bringing the good news to you right here on Front Porch Talks.
Well, Dad, I just pray that God blesses you in this next chapter that you're about to embark on. And I pray that he will bless you in this next chapter as much as he's blessed your time in Harrisonburg. And I pray that he will continue to do good works through your life, and pray that he continues to use me and Pastor Margaret here as well. And thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. We pray that it's been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.